In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of the Great Fast, and this is the Sunday of the man born blind. And in the meeting today between the Lord Christ and the man born blind, we see that the disciples, when they first saw the man, they commented by saying that, "Rabbi, who sent this man or his parents that he was born blind?" Of course, this reflects some misunderstanding in the minds of the disciples, because this man could not have sinned in a previous life, and that's why he is punished in the current life. This idea about the reincarnation and the recycling of the souls that today the Hindus are embracing, this was also in the mind of some of the people at the time of the Lord Christ. The other point is that they believe that because of his parents sinned, then God punished them in their son. And this also was not something that we believe at. God does not punish children because of the sins of their parents. But we also believe that there are some sins that the parents might slip into that might affect their children. And the children will eventually carry consequences, not because God is punishing the children, but rather because their parents' sins affected them in a way. Let us go and review how the parents' sins affect their children. The first of all, the negligence that sometimes is we are accused with in teaching our children the way, this might cause them to stray. The command to all of us as parents, not only to tell the kids, but actually to train them. Heed St. Paul to the Ephesians says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." What does training mean? That you do not only teach, but actually you take his hand and you do it with him, and you persevere doing this over and over and over. Keenness here is defined by how consistent we are in conveying the message. Training means that you tell him to pray and you stand with him, you open the Agbaya with him, and you teach him how to pray. Training here means you get him to the church and you do this every week, not only when you feel like you want to come to the church. You get him to the hymn class, to get him to the Sunday school. This is keenness. When we come short in this, unfortunately, these little ones are those who pay for our mistakes. To stand before God and be accused of negligence for our children, this is a major and a great sin. We have to be very careful with it. So the first of all, negligence in teaching and training the children is our responsibility. Unfortunately, the results will show in them. The second sin is that the slackness in restraining the children may bring God's wrath upon the whole household. The very good example is example of Eli, the priest in the Old Testament. This man was a priest. Unfortunately, he was not firm enough with his children, and his children brought God's wrath upon the whole family. The Lord spoke to Samuel and told him, "For I have told him," speaking and referring to here to Eli, "that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them." He knew that their children were not conducting themselves according to the commandment of God. And he did not do anything to restrain them. That's why God said that his iniquity will never be taken away from him. We hear also the wisdom of the son of Sirach tells us, "A horse not broken turns out to be stubborn, and a son allowed to run wild turns out to be headstrong." This is the theme of the community that we live at, that we let the children do whatever under the false understanding of what is love is, or thinking that they are too little to understand what we are talking about. You find, I don't call this a child, a young man, 16 or 17 years old, and his parents cannot dare to tell him this is wrong, And sometimes they say that he doesn't understand, he's just a kid. When then you are going to define him as being a person who is able to understand and comprehend and live with what you're going to teach him? We find that in schools today, teachers are restrained from disciplining children. They cannot do this. Children know how to dial and get the police for their parents if their parents may be there to yell at them. I'm not here encouraging the parents to do something that's cruel in order to restrain their children, but meanwhile, bringing a spoiled child also something that is sinful, and we are going to pay for it as parents. When one day this child, whom is the sweetheart of dad and mom, will come and rebel against you and give you a hard time. A horse not breaking turns out to be stubborn, and a son allowed to run wild turns out to be headstrong. The third sin that children might pay for it is the unbalanced corrections that might lead them to fail. Another extreme from spoiling the children that parents would understand that being very tough and cruel upon their kids, this will straighten them up. This is not right also. St. Paul to the Colossians instructs them saying, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Many times I hear this in the confessions. The kids come and say, whenever my dad or my mom open their mouth, it is to yell and tell me that I am wrong and I'm not doing the right thing. I never hear anything else. We have to be very careful in being balanced, how we teach and admonish and how also we convey love and make them to feel that they are so much accepted. The unbalanced way, being over the shoulders of our children all the time, may make them actually to be discouraged. And we also will be held accountable before God for this. Sometimes when you say to a parent that you should not be very tough, then he says to you, should I leave him to be spoiled? Why we always have to choose between extremes? I either do this extreme, or then you are asking me to do the other extreme. There is always something in the middle that God is requesting and expecting us to live and to raise our children with. The fourth sin, the distorted understanding of God and His path may lead the children away from Him. Sometimes in the family, while we speak and we talk, we convey a message to our children about whom God is. Parents who are always complaining, and they cannot utter a word of thanksgiving. They always feel like God is not looking upon them with His mercy. And they always think that God, in a way, is treating us unfairly. Or the church is not treating us the way that we should be treated with. Or the church is not doing its very best in order to do this and this. What do you think the children will end up thinking and believing and living with? They will rebel against the same God whom you are complaining against. They will also look to the church in a way that this is against me and my family. Even if the church is mistaken, the priest or the deacons or the servant, you have to be very careful in how you handle this mistake with your child. Maybe you're upset today, but you have to be very careful with what you say, because this might convey a message that will make the children to stumble. Sometimes also we convey a message to our children that God is the one who puts people in hell. If you do this, God will look and will see you, and then you will go to hell. Is this the only thing that God and His angels are doing all the time? Just holding a sheet and writing the mistakes and then turning people to hell? Another distorted image about God. Again, I always say this, being orthodox means being a balanced person. We have to convey a balanced message about God's justice and mercy. We have always to handle things pertaining to God and His attributes, His conduct, what He is doing in our life, very carefully. Our children will get what we say, and then we will build in them rebellion against God, and we cannot excuse except ourselves. Another sin, the ungodly conduct may cause the children to stumble. This is what the Lord meant when He spoke to the disciples saying, Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. It is better for him. This is just like, this is a better option than what God is going to do this person. Causing the little ones to stumble by ungodly behavior. Our children learn maybe 10% from what we say and 90% from what we do. If you see you as a father or mother cussing and trading bad words, what they are going to learn? If you see them, if you see you all the time before the internet or over the TV and watching things inappropriate in the house, what do you think they will learn? If you see you go to places that's unfitting for a Christian to be there, what then they will learn? We have to be very cautious. Maybe we say that we are big enough to discern and we know where to stop. But how can you know that your son or daughter will get it and will say, yes, this is where I stop? Taking to the kids to a casino in Las Vegas and lay before them for fun, what do you think they will learn when they will grow up? Don't take these things lightly and say that's not a big deal. It's something that's only like a couple of days and that's it. These things leave impression. It makes them to grow insensitive to sin and thinking the same way. What is the big deal? This ungodly conduct may cause them to stumble. The last, but not the least, actually this is the worst of all. Despising God's commandment by the parents may lead him to abandon the whole family. Every time I read this, I tremble. My heart melts in me that my mistake might make God to abandon my family. This is the scariest of all, my brethren. Look at the story of King David when he got the woman Bathsheba and he committed adultery with her and sent her husband to die. Then Nathan the prophet came with the words of God to the prophet and the king of Israel and saying to him, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. God did not make Amnon, the son of David, to lust his sister and rape her. God did not make Absalom to kill his son and then rebel against his father and take the kingdom from him. God did not do this, but he abandoned the family. He just took himself out because of David despising his commandment. He allowed him to see the consequences in his own household. It is very, very scary thinking this way, that our mistake when we despise God's commandment on purpose might lead us into this situation where me and my children are living in a house not protected by God's grace. I don't believe that there is something worse than this. Here as parents, we have to be very careful. Children are a reason of joy for all of us, but meanwhile, we are all responsible for them. What we do today, we will see it happening in them. Look at your son or your daughter when they grow. They will walk like you. They will talk like you. This is part of God's justice, that we see ourselves in our children. This is actually, when I say this, I don't know how I describe my feelings. I do not want my mistakes and my shortcomings to be reflected in my children. I always want them to be the best of all. Everybody wants so. But meanwhile, this doesn't come without a price. This just doesn't come because we want it to happen. We have to be very careful around those little ones. Let us review these sins and review our lives and see how can we correct ourselves in order that God would bless the children. How our sins affect our children. Negligence in teaching them the way may cause them to stray. Slackness in restraining them may bring God's wrath upon the whole household. The unbalanced corrections might lead them to fail. Our distorted understanding of God and His path may lead our children away from Him. our ungodly conduct may cause the children to stumble, and at the end, despising God's commandment by us, may lead him to abandon the whole family. May the Lord to guard all of us and give us the wisdom by which we can raise our children in his fear. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.